right, happy Sunday to the land of 10,000 lakes. Probably not a happy Sunday if you were thinking about singing Skol Vikings, because that was definitely not the tune this afternoon when we played the Buffalo Bills. But Boomer here, happy Sunday evening, the four outdoorsmen on Bob Country, missing Super Strew. He's got a trip. Producer Mark, where is he exactly?
He's on a two-week road trip. He's going through Ohio, I believe. Strew can comment in later. I think he's going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think he's traveling all around. One of those grand road trips with Diana and Strew. I know he's listening now because he always does, and hope you're having a great time. Strew, you have a well-deserved vacation.
We are going to miss you, Super Strew. And to my left is no stranger of the show, Mr. Rob Driesling, El Presidente, Guru, Dictator,
Dear leader
of a little old publication called The Outdoor News. Welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen, my friend.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure to be here and try to fill in a little bit for Strew while he's out east.
Well, you're more than worthy to fill in for Strew because you know what you're talking about.
You think that?
Yeah, we can't make it up around golf. Rob, because now he can call us out. This is a guy in studio that knows his
stuff. I'm a little intimidated because he's like, these guys don't know anything.
I know. He is. No, that's not He true. Does carry that aura about
but,
him.
But Rob, you've been with us since the beginning. Back, I remember getting you on
Ticket Sports Radio days.
Yeah, when we were the Ticket Outdoors. Yep. And then, did we have any other names? I can't remember.
We were Angler and Hunter.
Oh, Angler and Hunter.
We were an Angler and Hunter one time. And then when we transitioned over to the Bob Country, we decided to go with the Four Outdoorsmen, even though there's three of us.
Well, we started with four.
We started with four. Now Zepp's in Montana, right?
Yep.
So, again, Sunday evening, Four Outdoorsmen. Thanks if you're joining us tonight. Sorry if you're basking in your tears over the Vikings loss. The good news is, producer Mark, I love you, but the Packers lost, so
they did.
It should still be open for everyone in the NFC North.
They're
right?
Both 1-1-1. How weird is that?
That's a bizarre record.
Did you guys see Zimmer's press conference about letting go the kicker? Did you hear about it?
Oh, I did hear about that.
Oh, earlier in the week, right. Yeah.
Did you watch the game? Was it a hard decision? No. Next. Yeah, that is a guy that plays to win, as you should in the NFL. With that being said, guys, been kind of a crazy week. This week, Rob, I was up on Mille Lacs, donated a trip for Spare Key Foundation, which is a nonprofit foundation that helps people with financial assistance when cancer kicks in. If they miss a month of mortgage payment, these people come in. Tom and Jody from Ironwood, Michigan, won the winning bid, took them out on Mille Lacs. And, of course, Mille Lacs has no walleyes, because if you look at our Four Outdoorsmen shout-out, Jody's holding a 26-inch walleye. Still catching them on the flats, guys. Still live bait rigging, just like we did out of Izades a couple weeks ago.
So they drove from Michigan to fish with you on Mille Lacs?
They drove from Michigan, and I was part of the agenda. They have some family here, too, so they swung through to see their family, and they listened to the show. So Tom and Jody, thanks for being listeners of the show. Glad we were able to catch Jody that trophy walleye. So that was a lot of fun, but Rob, I'm telling you what, in the last probably 5 to 10 years I've been fishing Mille Lacs and Mark, this is probably the best year I've had. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, Rob, but walleyes are healthy, in my opinion.
Yeah, everything I'm seeing, I see Al Linder was out this past week. He posted something on Facebook, a little video snippet with massive, healthy walleyes with great big guts, you know, just full of forage. And, you know, you take pressure off a lake like we have. And go figure, the fishing's going to be pretty good. We saw the same thing happen with Redwood Lake 15, 20 years ago. There are big walleyes in that lake, no doubt about it.
And I kind of think that holds true now for the smallmouth bass, right? Because as I look at it, you know, for last 5+ years, people were really like, wow, look at the size of these smallmouths. And you could see it kind of growing internally in the state of Minnesota on Mille Lacs. And now we've had such increased pressure on those smallmouths. And we talked about it when we did the Wild for the Water thing with Bill Sherrick, where we took those guys and girls out fishing. The smallmouth bite, Rob, and again, I'm not a professional bass fisherman, but I do get my fair share in the water. I don't think it's as hot as it was five years ago.
And we also have a more liberalized reg. on that lake for smallmouth too.
That's true.
That I think has impacted those smallmouth populations. And there are folks saying we got to restrict that reg back to where it was, or at least less liberal than it is now, because that's become a world class fishery, as everyone watched on roll here the past couple of years with the Angler of the Year Bassmaster event up there.
Well, even on Mille Lacs, there's still rock piles that anyone that's fished the lake, it's a huge lake, but there's still rock piles and there's still bass on those rock piles. And you know, how many times can they get caught before they get pretty wary of what we're throwing at them?
And I tell you what, I want to give a kudos. I think it's the Smallmouth Bass Alliance.
Yes, good group.
Bass Alliance that have Free the Fighter. They do a lot, and I agree. We need to maintain that fishery as a championship, world-class fishery.
Yeah.
But now that we're talking about bass fishing, this was in the news as well. And then I want to talk about the demo tour I was at with Lumacraft and Evinrude. What is it, buddy?
Yep. Oh, we have Jason coming on pretty soon here. He's going to talk really briefly about a charity hunt coming up next week.
Yep.
But we have the whole second segment to talk about all that stuff.
Well,
I don't know if he's on right now. Brandon, is he on? Not yet.
No, we're trying to get
jabbing.
Him. Well, we'll keep jabbing. Well, we'll get into the bass thing here in a second.
Let's do the shout out really quick while I have some time here.
Shout out? Do we have multiple? Maybe?
We have multiple shout outs.
What is the shout out?
If you go to the 4 Outdoorsmen Facebook page, the number 4 Outdoorsmen, and comment on our post, the 4 Outdoorsmen shout out post, we'll mention you on air if we can and we have time. And I want to give a few shout outs here. Chris Davis says, going to do some fly tying while listening to your amazing show. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
For calling us amazing. And thank you for being a listener. That's awesome that you're into fly tying. I really want to get into that someday. I probably need to become a better fly fisherman first. But anyway, we're talking about Mille Lacs, the Zeiss family who loves going there. Just had a great weekend on Mille Lacs. Personal best 28-inch walleye for Justin on Mille Lacs. Dakota with a 21-incher that was tagged. And Jennifer and Colt, both with 23 inches, 10 eyes this weekend, 2 smallies. Justin caught his personal best 20.5-inch smallie.
Another pig, man. That is huge.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And then also our friend John Marshall checks in and says fall crappie action right now. And right now is a great time to catch crappies. I wish I could be out there a little bit more. And one more, Tony Lippa says maiden voyage for these flatlanders to elk hunt Idaho. Awesome. My uncle Ed Vlock is retired forester. At 75, he ran the mountains like a spring chicken. Congratulations, Tony. That's awesome.
All right. Well, we're going to get off of the shout outs right now, and we're going to get into Jason Skoog and Reach for Resources. It's a game fair gala thing we do. Jason, welcome back to the 4 Outdoorsmen, my friend. I'm Bob Country.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
We're doing good, buddy. What is Jason Skoog up to tonight?
Oh, I'm trying to keep my puppy crate from going crazy here.
Oh, your puppy crate? What kind of dogs do you have?
I got an 11-week-old yellow lab.
Oh, boy. Oh, and I'm guessing that's going to be a duck hunting dog and a pheasant hunting dog, huh?
Yep, named him Dude.
Well, Jason, I tell you what, Strewman is off traveling the world with his beautiful wife, Diana, and we miss him dearly, so we want to give him a quick shout out there. To my left tonight is the El Presidente of Outdoor News, Rob Drieslin, and then producer Mark. And the last few years, we participated, I think it's called the Game Fair Gala. It benefits Reach for Resources. Talk about that event a little bit.
So, when I started at Reach for Resources 3 years ago, we helped people with developmental disabilities and mental health issues. And instead of doing a fundraiser, I've been an outdoorsman all my life, hunting and fishing. And instead of doing a golf tournament for a fundraiser, I just said, hey, let's go pheasant hunt instead. And so we created this charity pheasant hunt. And the first 2 years, we held it up in Pine City. And now this year, we've moved it to Sand Pine Pheasants up in St. Cloud.
Ah, I know Keith really well up there in Avon, Minnesota. So talk a little bit about this event we're going to be at. I know I'm going to be shooting there. I know there's probably going to be some other Bob Country on-air personalities. Talk a little bit about how folks can get involved and a little more about the event.
All right. So the hunt itself is going to be Wednesday, October 3rd, and you can either hunt in the morning or the afternoon. You get a guide with 2 dogs. You get 5 birds per person. They'll also be cleaned and packaged for you. You get a catered lunch from Nelson's Meat Market out of St. Louis Park, and you get entry to win a gun.
Wow.
And then we're going to be giving away over $20,000 in prizes this year. and including 11 guns.
So, Jason, I know when I was talking to you at Game Fair up in Ramsey about a month ago, this event continues to grow. How many participants did you have last year? How many do you expect this year? And then how do folks sign up for this?
All right. So the first year we had 42 hunters. We raised almost $13,000. Last year we had 49 hunters, raised just under $25,000. This year we're sitting at 90 hunters. We only have 10 spots left. And a great, huge credit to Bob FM. Denny, the owner, really stepped up. Jeff Jones has been wonderful as our voice guy. He'll be hunting as well. And so the event itself is $250, and you get everything included.
$2.50?
Well, it's
$250.
Right. And that, you know, but that's with a guide and two dogs, and you get five birds cleaned and packaged. You get lunch. And the best part is since we're a charity, it's tax deductible.
That's awesome.
And can folks sign up until the actual event, or is there a deadline?
Yeah, you know what? We're down to only 10 spots open. We have 4 in the morning and 6 in the afternoon. And I just decided today, with this coming up, that Bob listeners, whoever wants to fill those last 10 spots, we're going to have a discount code for 10% off. So it'll be 2.25 versus 250, and use the discount code Bob, and then you'll get 10% off of your hunt. But we only have 10 spots open, so as soon as they're gone, they're gone. And then we're giving away 3 week-long trips as part of this. And boom, you'll like this. We're also giving away a Traeger grill.
I love it.
with 2 bags of pellets, we're giving away. It's got a cover. It's got a the cooking rack. We're also giving away a big frig cooler full of beer.
Well, I tell you what, if that doesn't get people to flood the phone lines to sign up for this. Jason, thanks again for joining us, talking about this big event coming up. One more time, the name of the event, how people can get involved in it, and how it benefits Reach for Resources.
Okay, so the name of the event is the Game Farm Gala. It'll be held Wednesday, October 3rd at Sand Pine Pheasants. You can sign up at reachforresources.org. It's $250. But if you're a Bob listener, put in the discount code Bob, all capital letters, you get 10% off. We'll be giving away 11 guns, $20,000 in prizes, and it's going to help people with developmental disabilities and mental health issues.
Well, there he is, Jason Skook, friend of the show, 4 Outdoorsmen. It's the Game Farm Gala. Google that and sign up. 10 spots left. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Boom. Thanks, Luke.
All right. Well, I tell you what.
See you guys.
See you, buddy. Well, we only got a couple minutes left here before we get to break, Rob. But
what a great event. Man, that's a lot of money they're raising.
That is. And, you know, we were there on the groundbreaking when there was 40 hunters, and we were like, wow, this many people are coming out to hunt with this event. And
I wonder, do they still have that 50 caliber shot? They had, like, you pay $10 and you get to shoot a 50 cal.
The old muzzleloader? Yeah.
No, the Barrett, like, sniper
one. Right, nice. It was pretty fun.
A real 50 caliber one that. And you'd shoot it, and it would suck the wind out of you.
Nice. It would. Crazy. And then you'd throw up a golf ball. They'd throw a golf ball in front of you to see if you could hit it with a shotgun. And a lot of folks thought it was really easy, but it's not.
Me? No.
Yeah. It's a little more difficult than you think.
I believe it.
Well, I tell you what amazes me, guys, is we talk about this all the time in the outdoors. How many people related to the outdoors do events like this or nonprofit stuff that give back? Isn't it amazing the men and women involved in the outdoors that do this kind of stuff?
There's a lot of opportunities for events like this, you know, raising money. We've done it to raise money for the Build a Wildlife Area effort. Pheasants Forever seems like they've always got something going, a golf event or something like this. But then a lot of, you know, just sportsmen's clubs all over the state have these events frequently.
It's pretty amazing. And I want to take a minute right now so we don't forget to kind of do a quick rundown of our sponsors, because we haven't got to yap. And, you know, with outdoor news and all the stuff you get to do, Rob, you can't do this without great sponsors. I want to start with Devil's Lake, North Dakota. We'll be headed out there for a cast and blast, a Wild Fowler. If you're looking for some great duck hunting camo and concealment, that's right up your alley.
And they also have a brand new Upland jacket that's really nice. I got my hands on one of those. They sponsor one of our shows, Rooster Tales, in Fox Sports. So if you're looking for a nice, flexible Upland jacket, go to wildfowler.com.
And then Deadshot Custom Calls. I tell you what, Rob, these calls are something that are going to stay on your lanyard forever and then eventually your bookshelf, because they can do your dog's ashes, they can put a picture in there, and they sound A+. It's absolutely amazing.
I just had one made for my friend Eric, him and his daughter, goose hunting, and it just arrived yesterday, and it was awesome. And I also bought a mallard lanyard that I can't wait. I need more than one call with this lanyard. It's absolutely enormous, and I'll look kind of dumb with just one hanging down the bottom. But just a great company. Brian over there does a great job. They do a lot to help the outdoors. They're doing a Wildlife Forever benefit. If you buy one of those, 20% goes to Wildlife Forever. So I just wanted to thank them for being great sponsors and partners.
And Alumacraft Boats, they've been a great sponsor of ours for a long time. And I tell you what, it's still relevant to talk fishing and buy boats right now. Alumacraft has their best catch deal where you can save up to $2,000 on select models, 2017, 2018, and 2019. And I hear the music, and stay tuned after break because we're going to be talking a variety of hunting and fishing subjects with President of Outdoor News, Mr. Rob Dreesen.
Checking in with the four outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
Tis the season, my friends, so make sure you guys are ready. Lakes Trading Company not only sells and buys new and used guns, they offer on-site gunsmithing. Hit the lever action of my 3030 was giving me problems, and Lakes Trading Company gave it back to me better than new. They buy, they sell, they trade, offer consignment, provide ammo, scopes, accessories, training, conceal and carry classes. Man, Lakes Trading Company is the premier firearm destination in the Twin Cities. I'll tell you, they're great people, too. Check them out. Go to lakestradingco.com.
Panfish, bass, northern or musky, whatever species you want it to be. Fish out a boat, oh my God, guaranteed catches with your rod.
Contact John Appleby's Pro Fishing Guide Service on Bowen Lake, Wisconsin at 651-402-5530, yes indeed, or at muskyology.com. Oh my God, huge fish!
My lawn's been worn out by summer, not to mention by my kids.
This year, use Scotts in the fall. Just one more feeding gives your grass the nourishment it needs to recover from the wear and tear of summer, while also building resilient roots to help prevent a weak, thin lawn next spring.
This fall, my kids and my grass are back out to play.
This is a Scotts yard. Now's the time to feed your lawn. Pick up a bag of Scotts Winter Guard today.
It's time for the Yellow Tag sales event at your local BRP dealer, where you can save big on new Can-Am off-road vehicles. Can-Am vehicles were made to perform and make the most out of any challenge. And right now, quality costs less, because you can save up to $2,000 on select Can-Am vehicles. Just stop by your local BRP dealer right now before the Yellow Tag sales event is gone. Offer ends September 30th, 2018. Certain conditions may apply. See dealer for details.
All right, we're back. The four outdoorsmen on Bob Country. I got caught in a little fishing conversation with Hall of Famer Mark Fisher from Bear Facts and Fishtails. But let's shift gears and let's talk to Rob Dreesen at the Outdoor News. Rob, you're the president. I know you got
fearless leader,
all that kind of good stuff going on. What's some hot topics in outdoor news these days?
Well, there's a lot going on. It was a real busy week. A lot of newsy things were occurring. I think maybe the biggest is that we've got another federal duck stamp winner from Minnesota, which really isn't that shocking anymore. It's amazing how often a Minnesota artist produces the federal duck stamp. But this is the stamp for the 2019-2020 season. So you don't have to buy it till a year from now. But it's Scott Storm. He's from the Freeport area out in Western Minnesota. Great guy. He won it once before, I think in 2004, 2005. This is the fourth year in a row that a Minnesotan has won it because the three Hauptmann brothers won it the past 3 years.
Yep.
And interestingly, none of them were eligible this year, because when you win it, there's a three-year period when you're not eligible to enter. Oh. So for three, you know, they won the past three, so all three of those guys were not eligible this year, which I suppose a lot of artists were happy about, to have them kind of out of the way this year, since between them they've won it, what, 13 times?
Oh, my goodness.
But congratulations to Scott. Great guy. He's also the Outdoor News Artist of the Year for our print of the year. So I know Scott very well. I don't know how Altman's role. All great guys.
Do you have a little backstory, or no, and don't mean to put you on the spot, on kind of the history of the duck stamp? When did they start having an actual contest, and when did it become such a big deal like it is now?
I can't give you an exact year. I want to say we're in about year 80, 85, something like that. Ding Darling was the first gentleman to paint a duck stamp. A real famous guy, helped launch, I believe, the waterfowl production area program through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So if you go hunt to WPA, you can thank guys like Ding Darling. Duck stamp dollars, historically, every penny goes into acquiring wetlands, which is duck habitat and hunter habitat. So it's been a great program over the years.
We definitely need that in the land of 10,000 lakes, don't we?
You better believe it.
I wonder if anyone has all 80 of them.
Oh, yeah. No, there's guys that have collected them all. And there's, you know, you ask the feds how many duck hunters they have. They always hedge. They don't want to admit that it's the number of people who buy duck stamps, because a lot of collectors buy them.
Yeah,
A lot of people buy them just because they know the money goes into a good cause for easements and for acquisition of wetlands. So just because a person buys a duck stamp doesn't mean they're a waterfowler.
Wow. And it was opening yep. weekend for yep. duck hunting in Minnesota. Any reports, Outdoor News? How was it?
Going into the season, everybody was really upbeat. It hasn't been too cold. We haven't had any really hard frost that would drive the teal out yet, the blue-winged teal and the green-winged teal. It was a big mast year, lots of acorns, as they're affectionately called, out there, which tends to hold the wood ducks. So those are your two main, you know, early season birds. We had some cool weather yesterday. It didn't hit 80 degrees like it so often does on duck opener. So really everything came together. I saw a fair number of pictures on social media. We won't really know until we check in with a lot of state wildlife managers tomorrow at Outdoor News. But my sense is it was probably a pretty darn good duck opener.
I tell you, I live in Lino Lakes, and I heard the guns a-blazing Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. So they're out there. That's actually, usually when I go, I have to go around the area because of my small kids and everything. So I kind of try to avoid opener weekend just because it's a traffic jam. But, man, I can tell you, there was a lot of people out.
I heard guns going off in the Minnesota River bottoms this morning, too.
You know, I've kind of heard a mixed bag as we speak about, you know, hunting in general. You know, we had waterfowl opener, but before that we had grouse opener.
Yep.
And I've kind of heard a mixed bag. Yeah. What's up with the grouse population?
The grouse
right
thing
now?
Is it's not necessarily good. I mean, last year was supposed to be great. Remember, we had the reports, the drumming counts. August 2017, everybody thought, man, we're gonna have a great year. It looked like one of the best years in a generation or more, and then it stunk for the most part. It was not good. I duck hunted grouse hunted northeastern Minnesota a little bit, picked up a few birds, but they just weren't there. Going into this year, the drumming counts were down, so it wasn't like, you know, it continued on that upward trend. There's a lot of questions about what's going on. One worry is this West Nile virus. Especially out east. If you read Pennsylvania Outdoor News, New York Outdoor News, there's a lot of talk about what West Nile virus is doing to grouse numbers out there. We're starting to be a little more concerned about that in Wisconsin and Minnesota, too.
Wow. And, you know, it's a great time of year, Rob and producer Mark, because not only can we talk about waterfowl hunting, we can talk about grouse hunting, you have fall fishing, but a little old thing called bow hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, for whitetail, that's open too, right?
It started last Saturday. My guy Tony Peterson, a regular columnist and blogger at OutdoorNews.com, got a nice buck on opening day. It was like an 85-degree day, which I think kept a lot of people out of the woods. I got to think a lot of people were bow hunting this weekend.
Yeah, I can't wait to have MDHA, you know, back on to talk about, you know, the deer population as we get a little closer to rifle season. But I can tell you where producer Mark and I hunt on our family land up north, this is the first in a few years where it's not a lottery for a doe.
Right.
So I think the deer population is a little healthier than it was a couple of years ago. What do you think?
Definitely climbing. The DNR, you know, restricted harvest with some of those lottery permits you talked about for a few years, that always gives the does a break. And then we've had some mild winters, so it all adds up to an increasing deer population.
So am I going to get a deer this year on your land?
Yes, sir.
This is what, year three?
Year
I'm
going to
get one this one.
Year well, three.
I'm going to shoot a doe if that's all right
that's
with you.
That's fine with me because I'm shooting a doe too, because I'm low on meat in the fridge and we need some venison for
the Stalmack
family.
I'm getting really into meat processing. I have friends at Walton's who have all this meat processing stuff. So I'm really excited to make some sausage and some jerky and some steak. So if it's brown, it's down this year, buddy.
I hear you. You did have the big buck around you right away in the morning.
Yeah,
there's
I'll
a big
be selective
buck.
On bucks. You know, when you hunt someone else's land that they've groomed for 30 years, I don't think I'm going to shoot a spike, but I think a doe is going down if
I see
one.
We've got about a 13-pointer that the neighbors confirmed that's been hanging around, and they jump back and forth, this big buck, between the sloughs and kind of the safety ground we have for them and the food plots on their land. And every year at the end of the year, for the last couple of years, we've been like, did you get them? Nope. Did you get them? And Mark was the only one that had some type of visual. Tell our listeners
had an encounter?
About this.
I had an encounter. It was kind of like Yeti, you know, where you never really get a clean shot of it. But I was in the tree. I was right before first light, and I heard stomping around, scraping. I knew it was a big buck. You know how you just know how deer act, you know, and I knew it was by himself. And it was a big one. I couldn't quite get a visual on it, and it was too early to shoot, but it made my little heart go pitter-patter.
Another year, right, just like when we had those turkeys behind us this spring, getting closer and closer. Now, fall turkey's open right now, isn't it?
I believe October. Pretty much the month of October. Please double-check that, folks, but I think that's in October.
Rob at Outdoor News says you can go right now.
Yeah, hashtag Rob said so, right? Well, I tell you what, I've never fall turkey hunted. Because it's just such a different beast. It's a spot in stock, and I really like the spring where it's more engaging and interactive. Have you fall hunted turkey?
I have fall hunted. My dad has killed a lot of birds fall hunting. You know, they're a little more interactive with calls than I think people realize. I mean, it's not the breeding season when it's obvious you're all in on calls, but a lot of guys go out and they will call and they'll get birds just coming in out of curiosity.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Now, with all that being said, so we covered a little bit of bow hunting. We talked about the grouse hunting, waterfowl opener, pheasant opener is coming down the pipeline too, right? That's, what, a month?
Yeah, not even. What is it? Usually the second weekend in October. I don't know the exact date.
So it's pretty quick.
That's looming, yeah.
And we had Jared Wickland on the show, the PR guy for Pheasants Forever. Yep, I think it was last weekend. Is that right, Mark? Or
the
weekend before?
Yep. And he said roadside counts were up. I don't know, what was it, 20% or something like that?
Yeah, 20% in Minnesota, 39% in Iowa, and 47% in South Dakota. Now, I know the 10-year average.
You're reading my body language here.
I can tell Rob was getting all cringed.
Yeah, you know, 25% of nothing ain't necessarily a lot. But, hey, let's try to think positive, and an upward trend is better than the way it's gone for years, which is a downward trend. Yeah.
Now, interesting enough, we were talking about Mille Lacs during the first segment, and you know, the trip I did out there for that couple from Michigan, and we had some pretty good luck. And there was an article that just got published in the recent Outdoor News about, I don't know what it means. You got to explain it in English to our listeners. It's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I think that's the bottom line is this is a good thing. So last year, in 2016, we had state harvest was over the quota. And so
by harvest, you mean estimated catch, because you can't keep anything.
Kill is you're right. I should be saying kill, not
so
necessarily
how
harvest.
Do they, sorry to interrupt, how do That's they right. possibly estimate that if you can't keep any fish?
Well,
do they count the floating ones?
They apply a formula for angler hours out there and then calculate that based on the temperature, the water temperature. There's a formula that's based on all that.
Higher temperature, more will die.
More mortality. Yep. Exactly. So we had an overage, which we're being penalized for. Well, this year, it was frustrating. We never even knew what the quota was this year. It was completely ridiculous. But anyway, I guess we're under the quota this year enough that we have an underage. Now, I'm using air quotes for those who don't see what I'm doing. An underage this year that offsets last year's overage. So we're not going to be penalized anymore for that, which bodes well for next year.
By penalized, you mean keeping negative fish?
Well,
how do you get penalized from not being
the way you get
fish?
Penalized is, let's say next year they say, hey, guys, you know what? There's enough fish in the lake. We can allow some harvest. We can allow 100,000 pounds of harvest. Ooh, we got that nasty overage from 2 years ago. You only get 70,000 pounds of harvest. Now we don't have to deal with that next year.
How do they estimate fishing hours on the lake?
They have creel clerks at the landings.
Oh, I suppose.
Things like that, yeah. And, you know, they've been monitoring Mille Lacs and harvest for longer than we've all been alive. And so they've got a pretty good formula put together to estimate that.
Do they just count, like, the people checking for invasive species, like log or something like that?
Well, that's part of it. But there's actual creel clerks that predate even some of this AIS monitoring that you just mentioned, where they try to estimate harvest based on that.
Wow, that's really interesting. You know, you think about Mille Lacs and all the estimates that go into it. I think the big question on everyone's mind, men and women that love to ice fish, what are they going to do with the regs for winter? Is there any hints out there? Do you have any thoughts? Are you going to be able to keep a walleye ice fishing, or what do you think?
We should know soon. That's the first thing I would tell you. I think there's going to be some harvest on Mille Lacs for ice fishing. There was last winter, right?
Yep.
And given the vibe we're hearing, maybe there'll even be some open water harvest next year, next summer. So I please don't quote me on that. We won't know until next spring. But the way things are trending, the fact that we don't have to deal with last year's overage, the fact that we're seeing all these pictures of big fish, things seem to be turning in the right direction. I'm cautiously optimistic we can have some harvest there next year.
I wonder if there is an actual harvest on open water, if it's like putting your thumb on a hose and then letting go and it's going to blast. Is everyone on the earth going to go to Mille Lacs and keep a walleye then?
I don't know.
Just out of
But it seemed pretty busy this year. I mean, I fished Mille Lacs a lot more this year than I have the last couple of years just because of the success we've been having. And even when we did the Wild on the Water tournament with, you know, Minnesota Bound and Alumacraft boats, there was a lot of people out there walleye fishing. I mean, you know by the spots they're fishing if they're going for what kind of species of fish. So I would have to say, Rob, and I don't have the official count or even know how to do it, but I think traffic on Mille Lacs had to be fairly strong this year for walleye anglers.
I think you're right. But nonetheless, the harvest, the kill was down. I think maybe, you know, some of the pressure you're talking about existed maybe before it got really hot, and that's good. So we had less hooking mortality. If I were a betting man, I would say, you know, maybe we'll get a crack at some harvest. And to Mark's point, I think there's some pent-up demand. I think there's going to be a lot of crowds that are going to want to be up there fishing when they know they can keep a walleye.
I think so, too. What do you got, producer Mark?
Before break, I got I guess we do have a couple minutes, but I do have a couple more shout-outs. Bill Katz says, making covers while listening to Boomer, See You and Blaine. Dahl says, smallies are putting on their feed bags on the big pond, what we're just talking about. Alicia Ann says, greetings from the Jeremy and Alicia Hinton. No ducks opener for us this season because she's 8.5 months pregnant. Well, congratulations. Ron Madison said, did you guys get any ducks? And I think I'm going next weekend. Are you going duck hunting anytime soon?
You know, I think I'm actually going to be walleye fishing next Saturday and maybe Sunday morning if it works out, sneaking out to get on some public hunting land and maybe bring the kids out there. So we'll see. I was just down in northern Missouri for the teal hunt.
Oh, good.
A couple weekends ago, and that was really interesting, but it was really, really hot.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, will we have Rob's undivided attention before we are going to get another guest? Are we going to call him in the third break?
I think we're going to have him on next Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So he can come in studio and all that good stuff. So I think we're going to pick Rob's brain with the outdoors
a little bit. We'll just pump as much info as we can.
I would like to do that. And then if Mark Fisher is available, maybe after this break, I want to get his insight with all the game-breaking news that's happening in the bass world with a Bass Pro Tour coming down and kind of what that means, because now there's payouts that are exceeding $1 million.
Now, he's prepping for his show. You're going to pick his brain now, and so he can't prep for his show?
Well, you know, he already knows everything there is. He just looks busy in there going through the outdoor news, so I'm going to try to steal him for 5 minutes, even though I just asked him on air. But, Rob, you've been doing a little bit of traveling lately?
Mostly with family. You know, I've got a wife and 4 kids, so a lot of family travel. Did get up to the Boundary Waters in August. Had a great trip. Great fishing. I don't want to even say the lake we were on. I didn't expect it during the heat of August, but had some good walleye fishing, pike fishing, and smallmouth fishing.
I did not know that as the president of Outdoor News that you would say Lake X. I am so proud of you. You've got that angler in you, even to mention the lake.
Maybe it'll be the featured lake of the week on Outdoor News back page there. One of my favorite things to read.
It was off the Gunflint Trail.
Oh, okay.
Strewman's getting excited. Stretch. Hey, how do you guys pick the lake of the week or the lake of the month or the lake of the whatever?
Well, they feature one every week, right?
We do. You might be surprised at the process that goes into that. Tim Spielman and I will look at the lakes in the state. We've got a list. You got to have a map. We try to pick lakes of a certain acreage or larger. We try not to pick on lakes that are, you know, 50 acres so that a bunch of anglers descend on it and fish it out, right? We try to be respectful of that.
Don't do anything around Lino Lakes, will you?
We try not to do lakes too frequently. We try to put them in a 6-7 year tops rotation.
Yep.
So that we're not directing too much pressure at a lake too frequently.
Well, I tell you what, stay tuned. We're not going to go to break here yet. Just in a second. We've got about 1 minute before you hear the music, but you're going to want to tune in after break because we're going to talk about the game-changing stuff that's going on in the professional bass fishing world. Plus, we are going to be talking about a picture that went viral on Outdoor News Online. So, Brandon, let's cue that music. Let's get to break. Stick with us, the Four Outdoorsmen. I'm Bob Country. We're coming back with President Rob Drieslin from Outdoor News. Plus, we're going to steal Hall of Famer Mark Fisher for a couple minutes on the game-changing news in bass fishing tournaments.
The Four Outdoorsmen, just average guys that love to hunt and fish and chew the fat on Bob Outdoors.
Lakes Trading Company does it all. Not only do they deal in new and used firearms, they offer on-site gunsmithing and ladies-only classes, and Lakes Trading Company buys gun collections. If you're looking to sell your collection and don't know where to start, Lakes Trading Company buys firearms, accessories, safes, and everything else in between. There's no safer way to dispose of a collection than to work with a licensed firearm dealer. Work with the most knowledgeable staff in the industry. Trust Struman on this one. Go to lakestradingco.com.
Panfish, bass, northern or musky, whatever species you want it to be. Fish out of boat, oh my God, guaranteed catches with your rod.
Contact John Appleby's Pro Fishing Guide Service on Bowling Lake, Wisconsin at 651-402-5530, yes indeed, or at muskyology.com. Oh my God, huge fish!
My lawn's been worn out by summer, not to mention by my kids.
This year, use Scotts in the fall. Just one more feeding gives your grass the nourishment it needs to recover from the wear and tear of summer, while also building resilient roots to help prevent a weak, thin lawn next spring.
This fall, my kids and my grass are back out to play.
This is a Scotts yard. Now's the time to feed your lawn. Pick up a bag of Scotts Winter Guard today.
It's time for the Yellow Tag sales event at your local BRP dealer, where you can save big on new Can-Am off-road vehicles. Can-Am vehicles were made to perform and make the most out of any challenge. And right now, quality costs less, because you can save up to $2,000 on select Can-Am vehicles. Just stop by your local BRP dealer right now before the Yellow Tag sales event is gone. Offer ends September 30th, 2018. Certain conditions may apply. See dealer for details.
All right, welcome back. Final stretch, the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country, joined by Presidente, leader, fear nothing, Rob Drieslin from Outdoor News, producer Mark, wild card, is on vacation with his beautiful wife. We miss and love you, Strewman. But we're going to bring in a big hitter here, Hall of Famer Mark Fisher from Bearfax and Fishtails. Mark, happy Sunday evening, my friend.
Top of the afternoon, boys. Well, Drieslin, is he out there still? Yeah, oh, he's in there? I didn't even know.
You couldn't tell from my wonderful radio voice?
Well, that's what I mean. You're a doggone radio professional. Here I am studying up. So,
Mark, I have seen a lot of news on a shakeup in the professional bass fishing world. I saw something that Bassmaster is going to do a new payout scheme where it's only 80 anglers. They're cutting entry fees in half. They got the Angler of the Year, the Classic, and the Toyota Wildlife Federation, where they're giving away $1 million to respond to Major League Fishing. In a couple minutes, Mark, what is going on, and is this going to shake up the professional bass fishing world?
Answer to the last part of your question, yeah, it's going to shake it up big time. What's going on is kind of an alignment of, you know, I think the easiest way to say it, it's an alignment of the sport of competitive angling and an alignment directly connected to the industry. So that could be retail, that could be boat motors, that could be a whole line of products. Now, years ago, Irwin Jacobs did this. And you've got to tip your hat to Irwin. You know, back years ago when he had Genmar Corporation, which owned a lot of different boat companies, he pulled everybody together. And then he got Walmart for a sponsor, you know, and then hence FLW created. it was a great circuit because there were all sorts of rungs on a ladder, so to speak, to get to the big game of within the FLW organization. And I would say in the past 12 years, there's kind of been, you know, a tug of war between BASS and FLW.
Yep.
You know, and then there would be change of ownerships and structure and whatever. All good, because there was always something new and something fresh. Well, what has basically happened is a lot of the anglers that were fishing BASS that qualified to fish the elite circuit, they got to that top, kind of that cream of the crop, so to speak, and companies align themselves with those anglers to move product. You know, it's marketing 101.
Right.
And basically what has happened is that's functioning and that's working, and FLW's working and functioning. But in the last couple of years, a lot of the good anglers that had been participating in FLW, some of them are getting of age to retire. You know, Tom Mann Jr., good buddy of mine, he's guiding on Okeechobee all the time.
Yep.
You know, he just said, no, that's fine. He carried all the sponsorships with him, but he changed venues, so to speak. And so a lot of anglers have left FLW, not great numbers, but have. Randall Tharp.
Yep.
You go to, like, right down the list of anglers, and they got into FLW. So now they got a place to hang their hat, so to speak. You know, now you're in, you know, and there's a part of all of us that fish have fished competitively,
right,
and like the outdoor side of it, you're going to kind of bring an emotional side to you, because if this changes the way this new organization wants to come in and make it happen, the granddaddy of them all, the Bassmaster Classic, virtually is over here.
Wow.
And that's the first shot where you just go, ooh, pressure on the heart, you know, a little dagger there, you know, because you're thinking, all right, where is this coming from? What's going on? Well, you know, it's no secret, Johnny Morris and the Bass Pro people bought Cabela's.
Yep.
You know, they're serious in this game. They, you know, and thank God we've got people like Johnny Morris, who started out of the trunk of his car. It's a great American story of an entrepreneur. And has built it up. He gives back. He grows his business. And he hires and sponsors some of the greatest anglers in the bass side that have ever fished.
Like Kevin,
you know,
Van Dam,
I
right?
was just going to say, Kevin, you know. And Kevin's a great guy, but he comes across in multi-sponsorships. He's not only just Bass Pro Shop, but his Tracker Boats. You know, and through that, you know, he's got all sorts of other things. And now you go to Humminbird and there's KVD Electronics.
Yep.
You know, other companies have KVD, you know, Strike King, for example, crankbaits and soft plastics, the whole deal. So Johnny Morris has decided to take this one step further. So he's got a partner that's got a lot of funds, and they've sat down and created a really hardcore program. And I saw, I received some documents last week with the basic structure on it. I haven't gone all the way through it and read all of it. It was pretty complicated. But the bottom line is, people can say, well, you know, this is Bass Pro trying to step apart. And I will say this, it's not. It really isn't. Because he's still participating and upping his ante, as I understand it, with FLW. He's still participating in maintaining his position with BASS. So he's starting this whole new circuit over here, a third entity. And unfortunately, there's a little strong arming going on, because you can only fish his circuit and his circuit only.
Yeah.
So all those guys that have a shot and a dream of winning the Bassmaster Classic have to stay with BASS to do it. They can't come along. And they went along, and as I understand, they have grabbed 80 anglers. They know the list of the 80 anglers that they want to bring into their program. And they said there's, you know, here again, you know, allegedly, but the word is all those anglers that were invited to participate are pretty much coming.
Wow.
Virtually everybody, from what I've heard. And I've talked to a few of them. And, you know, basically everybody's making a move. And they're making a move because they have an opportunity for the first time ever in competitive bass fishing to make a reasonable livelihood and not having to win or run in the top 10 all the time. If you get in the top 50%, you can make a living.
Wow. Wow.
So he's going to structure this thing. So he's going to shake out a percentage of people year after year after year. There'll be qualifications. It'll be catch and release, you know, Major League Fishing format style of fishing. It's fresh. It's obviously new, and I think there's opportunity for a lot of people. And I think it's really an interesting concept. It really is.
I tell you what, Mark, thanks for joining us tonight. We're going to get to a couple other subjects. We're going to grab Mark again on this because it is a big shakeup, and it kind of makes sense because, you know, Rob and Mark, as we look at high school bass fishing, it's growing, right? And it's growing as a sport. So it probably makes sense to open up another identity, and who better to do that than Johnny Morris? But let's shift gears a little bit and talk about this viral photo on Outdoor News. What was it, and what is all the talk about?
Well, yeah, it's always fun when a photo goes viral, when anything goes viral on social media. So it was two Fridays ago, we had a reader send us a photo. His name was Jerry Schneider. He had an image of a bunch of wild canines. He got on his trail camera west of Finlayson, which is in Pine County, so it's south and west of the Duluth area. We posted it at OutdoorNews.com, over the week, by last Monday morning, it had about 350,000 reach on it. You know, that many people potentially had seen this photo. And it was a lot of fun, a lot of debate. Were they wolves? Were they coyotes? And I saw it. I said, you know, there's almost a story in itself, when something goes this viral. So I wrote a blog about it, and we printed it in this week's print edition of Outdoor News. My blog, I think, was one of our biggest blogs ever at Outdoor News because that got a lot of hits. And it generated even more debate. Are they wolves or are they coyotes? I called about a half a dozen experts, people I trust. And I am proud to say, smugly happy to say, that they all agreed with my initial impression of the photo, which is that they are wolves.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would have got that wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you look at the small photo, if you zoom in, you look on a bigger photo, the other kicker is, when I called Jerry Schneider, the old guy who submitted the photo, he had another 10 photos from kind of the sequence, trail cam sequence, that he sent me. By the way, you can see several of those at my blog at OutdoorNews.com. There were a couple in there, shots of the pup. You know, the pup's got its paw up, and this paw is as big as a human hand, it's got this muscular front shoulder and this big, broad, square muzzle, not a little pointy coyote muzzle that made it really clear.
I love how it is foggy. It really does add some mystique to it.
It does.
Boy, what a pack of wolves. Can you imagine coming across that?
It's two adults and it looks like about six pups. And the pups, it was taken first week in August, so it was a real steamy, hot morning.
Yep.
You know, the steam is coming up out of the grass, and that's what kind of lends it that vibe that you alluded to, Mark. But it's just a lot of fun when you see a picture
like
that.
Do you think, Rob, with this picture, and let's say we didn't have a good deer harvest in this year's deer hunting, do you think this will start to raise the issue of wolf hunting again in Minnesota?
Well, that issue is definitely raised even without this. I don't think this photo is going to surprise anyone. We've known there's wolves in this area.
Yep.
This is just photographic evidence. It's a big, healthy pack. There's no mange in them. These pups are big and healthy. The Jerry Schneider, he said, we've got a lot of deer in the area. He says, my trail cameras pick up a lot of photos of deer. So, go figure where the deer are. The predators are going to follow.
Well, let's talk a little bit about waterfall hunting. And back in my days when I used to live in Missouri, during a certain time of the season for snow geese hunting, you could use electronic calls because they were considered a nuisance. Mm-hmm. And electronic calls, to help save the egg down in Missouri could come into play for anyone. Mm-hmm. Rumor has it there's some electronic calls that are now being legalized for waterfall hunting.
Yeah, so let's be real clear. This is strictly small scale, only for some tribal hunters in Minnesota. So unless you're a tribal band member, and even then I think you've got to apply for one of these, that doesn't apply for anyone else. The conservation order you mentioned as it applies to snow geese, that still exists, I believe, Boomer. Mm-hmm. That what are we in about year, probably pushing year 20 of that spring conservation order. And that exists to do one thing: kill lots of snow geese, right? Because the snow geese are destroying their breeding grounds up in the Arctic. And the electronic calls of that was controversial when they allowed that. Guys like Tony Dean and I think Ron Sherry, even some other folks, said, do we want to go down this road? Does that open a can of worms, Aladdin's lamp, whatever the metaphor is you want to choose? This is a brave new world when you're talking about potentially allowing electronic calls during the regular waterfowl season. This is strictly for tribal hunters. They asked the Fish and Wildlife Service they could do it. The Flyway Council, which of course is made up of representatives from the state, said, we don't like this idea, bad idea. They oppose it, but the feds nonetheless have allowed this. I believe they're giving 50 permits. Tip of the hat to Tim Spielman, who saw this in a tribal newspaper that Glyphwick publishes. And he mentioned it at the end of his duck hunting story in the print edition of this week's Outdoor News. Why do we care? Because electronic calls are really, really effective at killing ducks.
So can they only do it on tribal lands?
I do not believe so. I believe if they're a tribal hunter on any public land, they potentially would be able to do this. Again, we're talking about 50 guys across the whole upper Midwest. The chance of you bumping into someone who would be doing this is next to nil. But nonetheless, it's kind of breaking the seal kind of thing.
Could they possibly guide? Take out a white boy like me, and I could see how well they work.
I doubt it.
I highly doubt it. That was kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
But it just makes you think of a lot of different questions about the process and everything. But now, our tribal members, do they have to abide by the same numbers as far as
limits?
Harvests? Yeah.
Not generally, no.
Okay.
They generally have more liberalized limits. Now, again, very few tribal hunters actually go out and hunt ducks.
Yep.
I doubt if 50 guys, I'm not even sure if it applies this fall or if it's next fall. But tribal hunting is very small scale, but it's the principle of the thing.
It is the principle.
It kind of opens.
Yeah, right.
Then when they hear
Pandora's
my terrible
box.
Call, they'll be like, no way.
The first couple of years, guys were using electronic calls for snow geese. I think they were really effective. I think the birds, especially snow geese, which are really smart, they get educated quickly.
Yep.
I think that would happen with this too. But nonetheless, it could be lethal in the short term.
Yeah, we always call the guys sky busting or educating ducks. You know,
right,
the ducks
yeah.
are 100 yards away and you're hunting on public land and you're like, all right, they're going to come in there decoys and then far enough away. Ba-boom, ba-boom,
yeah,
ba-boom.
I know.
Just educated that set of ducks.
Yeah. I think I heard some of those guys this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in the metro. There's
right.
a lot of sky blasting.
I want to give Rob, before we get back to you, I want to give a big thank you again to Alumacraft Boats and Evinrude Motors. They had me out on Minnetonka yesterday. They did the Evinrude Edge demo tour, which was fun. I got to test drive different Alumacraft boats with competitor boat models. And boy, does it plane out quick with the Evinrude. And a shout out to River Valley Sport and Power and Sport for having me out there at their booth. And I had a blast. And the fun thing I saw in there, I saw a Manitou pontoon with two 300 Evinrudes on it that could get over 64 miles an hour when I was on it.
Was it a tri-tune? Or?
Yes, it was a tri-tune. And it had a custom paint color, guys, that was $1,000 a quart.
It
would change colors.
Wow.
Based on where it was in the sun's reflection.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
That's impressive. I need to buy stock in that company.
Yeah, my goodness. So, Rob, what else is cooking or Marky?
Well, we have a couple minutes left here, and I just wanted to thank Rob so much for coming.
My pleasure.
Throughout. We can't say enough about the outdoor news, so we just kind of want to give you a chance for plugging a bunch of different things. Now, you do a radio show of your own. And why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about that and how they can listen to it?
Yeah, it's on the Learfield Network. We've got about a dozen stations around the state that broadcast our one-hour show that I host. And then probably in roughly another dozen stations that broadcast a little two-minute daily segment that my friend Tim Lesman, we all love Tim Lesman.
Yeah,
he puts those together for us, and we put those out. It's like a little daily outdoor news nugget. Kind of thing. So that's we're multimedia, like I say. So big website presence, big social media presence, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. OutdoorNews.com is being updated every day, multiple times per day. A lot going on there. But the bread and butter is still a print edition that Mark mentioned and you guys both mentioned. Give us a call at 800-535-5191 or check us out at OutdoorNews.com.
I love the fact too, as the Outdoor News is even becoming a bigger player when it comes to shows and events, right?
Thank you
so much for having us do a broadcast out there.
Thanks for being there.
Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic, right?
Yep, that'll be next March again. Yep.
And that's at the State Fair Coliseum, which is where the original Deer Classic used to be.
Yeah, the Deer Classic was for years,
recognize the growth in turkey hunting and now kind of put it together. So excited to see the growth of outdoor news going from, the staple of all us outdoorsmen and women that we read. Now it's getting a more digital platform with and now the podcasts and now the shows and events you guys are doing.
You can tell the power of the whole medium when you guys can just start a show and it becomes a success right away. I'll tell you, we've dealt with quite a few companies that have tried doing some outdoor shows, and it's hard.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And
definitely.
So, congrats to you guys for being like, hey, let's do the deer show at the Coliseum, and right away it turned out great, and it is a great show. So we do look forward to promoting that as well. But one more time, why don't you tell people how they can subscribe to the Outdoor News? It's the only print publication that I read anymore, and I love how it can stay so relevant and so important in this, even in this digital age. I'm sure you get a lot of traffic online too, but there's something about sitting with a coffee and turning the pages, as Drew likes to say, just turning the pages,
feeling the paper. Yeah, on your thumb,
feeling the paper. You know, right? It just feels right. So thank you for what you do, and how do people subscribe to the Outdoor News?
Before I do, I want to thank you guys for attributing. When you guys mention things you see in Outdoor News, you always give us credit, and that means a lot. So thank you. But, you call us at 800-535-5191, 800-535-5191, or subscribe at OutdoorNews.com. Anybody who wants to email me and vent or rant about something I wrote, please feel free to email me, editor@OutdoorNews.com.
Wow, that's a tough one to throw out there.
I love that stuff. Editor.
There he is. Well, I tell you what a great show tonight. Strew, man, we love you and miss you. Hope you're having fun with Diana. We covered a variety of subjects from Mille Lacs to waterfall hunting to grouse hunting to bow season, all the way into the big bass fishing changes.
So next week, Strew will be out. I will be out on a golf trip with some college friends. So it is the Boomer Stelmach Show.
And it's going to be fun because I believe I'm going to have a friend of the show, John Hoyer, on, who just won $38,000 muskie fishing. And we're going to talk about his big muskie fishing win, you know, what it was like for the Cabela's NWT Tour, and it should be a blast.
All right, Boomer, what do you say at the end of every show?
Get outdoors.